time with Chubby? Checker, that is. I think I asked Dad if good old Chubby is still around twisting, but he says he thinks so. We'll have to check that out. Hey, I wonder when it was that the last person actually danced the twist. I wonder if anybody is still doing that. It must be somebody somewhere. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I danced the twist at one point. It was a lovely thing to see. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, August the 4th. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about. In a few minutes, Kevin Hall of the Mercatus Center will be with us. We're going to talk about the downgraded U.S. credit rating, the first in more than a decade. What's going on? Stay tuned for that. And Donald Trump says not guilty to his third indictment, one that seems to accuse him of throwing about his free speech in a very dangerous manner. So we're going to take a look at that as well. And hold on to your hats. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis agrees to debate California Governor Gavin Newsom live on Fox News. Is this a preview of the final two presidential candidates? We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we're on a football jag these days. Last time we gave you the top 10 greatest NFL running backs. This time it's the top 10 greatest NFL wide receivers. I want to see if Ed knows whether or not, or I should say, who is number one. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, how many times do I have to tell you? You want the best haircut in Tampa Bay? Go over to the Overcash Drive in Dunedin, just north of State Road 580, and look for Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And ArborLife Tree Service, I've used them. They are terrific. You have anything to do with trees? You want cut a couple down, one down? Do you have one that's getting into your telephone wires or limbs are hanging over your pool or something? Anyway, whether you want to grow a tree, enhance a tree, or cut down a tree, ArborLife Tree Service, call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right. Well, we got a lot going on, Ed.
By the way, Chubby Checker is still twisting at 81 years old.
He's 81.
Yes.
God love him. Thank God. Two people arrested, accused of providing military secrets and sensitive info to the Chinese. And no, it's not Joe and Hunter Biden. These are two sailors, two Navy people. Junkao Wai, in fact, that looks like it must be a Chinese sailor that somehow got into our Navy. Is Junkao Wai, known as Patrick Wai, W-E-I, he's 22. He's charged with spying for China under the Espionage Act. He served aboard the Essex, which is an amphibian assault ship. It's anchored out at our naval base in San Diego, which is the home of our Pacific Fleet. The other guy is Petty Officer Wang Heng Zhao. Wait a second. I thought these were two U.S. Navy sailors.
When you do these stories,
I can't even read their names.
I know, but you have to be careful of the names, that somebody's not trying to pull something past you.
That's true. Wang Heng Zhao. Listen, I would indict him just because of his name, all right? He's 26 years old. He's also known as Thomas. Oh, all right. Yes. Well, that's a little easier to say.
Yo, hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Tom.
Guess what?
You're going to jail.
You're going to the hoskow. He's charged with taking bribes in exchange for providing sensitive U.S. military info to a Chinese intelligence officer posing as an economic researcher. We've got more trouble with China in this country.
Yeah.
They're buying all our property around our military bases. They're floating sensitive air balloons across our country. What else do they do? Oh, they're anchoring themselves in Cuba, right next door to us. What's going on here?
Well, when it comes to spies, I mean, we have them, they have them.
Yeah, except
that
they got,
cancels it
except,
out.
Except it sounds like they're just like scurrying all over our country.
At least they caught them, I guess.
They've even built police stations. Remember that? Yeah. Chinese police stations in the U.S. And you wonder why and how and whatever with Biden taking money from the Chinese. Now I see why. Now I see why. Meantime, latest job numbers, U.S. employers added 187,000 jobs in July. That's less than predicted. They were predicting 200,000. The unemployment rate is down to 3.5%. Average hourly earnings went up 4.4% annually in July. Now, the sectors that added jobs, healthcare, they added 63,000 people. Social services, they added 24,000. Financial activities, 19,000. Hospitality, 17,000. Guess who lost jobs? Manufacturing. Manufacturing lost 2,000. Employment services, they lost 8,000. So, last month, the Fed raised interest rates again, as you know. It puts our key benchmark federal funds rate at a range of about 5.25% to 5.5%. We are going to talk here in just a couple of minutes about the downgrade of our credit rating. So there is lots of economic news going on right now. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, is he not riding bicycles and going to the beach and falling down and stuff somewhere in Delaware? I mean, he's not in the White House, I don't think. Is he taking the rest of the summer off? If he is, I'm glad, because he can do no harm if he's stuck on a sand, making a sandcastle.
He's not embarrassing us.
Yeah.
You know, he's, like I said,
yeah,
they're concentrating on him walking from point A to point B right now.
Yes.
You know,
I told you that he needs one of those little sit-down seats, and they attach it to the plane staircase, and he goes up on the sit-down seat. I think that would work.
Mm.
It's not a good visual, but he would get up there safely, you know?
Hey, did anybody else notice that gas is quietly creeped up to $4 a gallon?
Has it?
Yes, it has.
In Tampa Bay?
Yeah. Yesterday it was at $4.93.
No, it wasn't.
I'm sorry, at $3.93.
It's getting there, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it just jumped real quick.
Yeah, well,
in the last
I thought
week,
that Biden said all the prices are great and everything's coming down. He told us.
It's Putin's fault still. It's the war. You know.
Well, I tell you what. We're going to take our break right. We got so much to talk. We're going to talk later, of course, about the Trump third indictment. But right now, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Kevin Hall of the Mercatus Center is going to join us. We're going to talk about. I'm sorry? Oh, Keith. I'm sorry. Why did I say Kevin? No, it's Kevin Hall. Let me make sure. It is Keith. You're right. I'm wrong. Keith, I'm sorry, buddy, but we're going to be talking to you right after the break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control, to grinding and removal. You get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thank God it's Friday, and we're delighted to have Keith Hall join us. Keith has a great pedigree. He's a senior fellow right now at the Mercatus Center. He's the former director of the Congressional Budget Office. He was commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, chief economist for the White House Council of Economic Advisors. So, Keith, first of all, welcome to Freedom Works.
Good to be with you.
Yeah. So tell us, Keith, this is really kind of a jolt, is it not? Fitch has downgraded our credit rating from AAA, which it's been at for quite a while, apparently, to it's called AA+. It is our first downgrade in more than 10 years. Tell us why this is significant, if it is.
Well, sure. Well, the federal government outspends our tax money by quite a lot. And when they outspend it, they have to issue bonds to borrow the money. This is where they get accumulated debt over time. And the credit agencies are offering an opinion on how much confidence they have in the federal government in being willing and able to pay back all this debt. So right now, the federal government owes about $32 trillion. And I say that like it's an easy thing, but $1 trillion is a lot of money. $32 trillion is owing a lot of money. And lowering this credit rating means that they're starting to make noise about this debt number becoming too large, and it's growing quickly over time. And this is kind of a big deal. It's going to raise interest rates a little bit, but it's a signal. They're talking to us. They're telling us the government is borrowing too much money. It is on an unsustainable trajectory, and they're hoping that the government will do something about this. That they'll come up with some sort of plan to start paying some of this back.
This is something that, you know, with all of the other news going on, I think people are almost bypassing this story. But I am so worried, and I've thought about this before, talked about it before, that at some point, people are going to stop buying our debt. Now, I know that, you know, they get an attractive interest rate. That's why they loan us the money. And they're loaning us money from all over the world, which, of course, makes us, when you owe somebody money, they can kind of control us a little bit in some ways. But just the idea that every year now, are we not... Our deficit, is it not over $1 point something trillion? In other words, we're going to spend more than $1 trillion more than we are taking in for the year?
That's right. And you know, we're not even done with a year yet. We've already borrowed $1.4 trillion so far to keep the government working. And you're right about the holders of the debt. This accumulated government debt, 30% of it is held by China and Japan.
Wow. 30% of our debt is held by China and Japan.
That's right, and that adds extra risk, right? China and Japan now have a little leverage on us. If we have some issues, they can cause some real disruption with our economy if they threaten to sort of dump our debt.
Yes. What happens, and Keith, I'm sure you thought about it, what would happen if all of a sudden China, Japan, and other places decide they don't want to purchase our debt anymore as we continue to mount our national debt? It's now $32 trillion. It's going to be more than that probably in another year.
That's right.
At some point, if they decide to stop financing our debt, we could collapse. I hate to say that, but I'm worried about it.
Well, there is, I think it's a very remote chance, but there is a chance of a financial crisis, which is exactly what you're talking about. If it becomes suddenly very hard for the U.S. government to continue to borrow money, and they borrow it constantly, and they refinance debt all the time, they don't pay any of it off, suddenly we could have a big spike in interest rates. It would disrupt our financial markets. It would cause a big problem for the country to have interest rates suddenly jump up. We'd almost certainly go into a recession, and we'd have really big troubles. Fortunately, we're not there yet, but this is a little signal from the credit markets that they're getting a little concerned. And the thing we really need to do is show signs that we're taking this seriously, that we recognize this is a problem, and maybe we ought to start slowing down our borrowing, slowing down our spending, raise taxes, do something so we don't borrow so much money.
Yeah. Is it true that this is only the second time in our history that our debt has been downgraded?
Right. There are three major credit agencies right now. Two out of the three have already downgraded us now. This is the second one.
Oh.
So this is not trivial. And, the S&P downgraded us in 2011. That was a serious problem. Now Fitch has downgraded us now this year. And both those credit agencies now don't think we're as
solid as we used to be. What is the third credit rating company?
Moody's.
Moody's, that's right. Okay. They have not downgraded us yet?
Not yet, but they're seeing the same things these other two agencies have seen, so it could happen.
We're talking with a guy that knows what's going on. You're like a security blanket to me, Keith. Because you know so much about
it. People.
Huh? No, I mean, you know so much about it, and you seem to be not as concerned maybe as I am, so I'm feeling a little bit better. I'm not shaking as much. But, I have never experienced what we seem to be going through right now in our country. Well, in many ways, but I just want to focus with you on the economic route that we seem to be going on. Gas prices here in Tampa Bay are almost at $4. Almost $4 for Tampa Bay. That they're going up. The price of everything has gone up. This is the highest I've ever seen prices for anything, ever. Healthcare is unaffordable for most of us. We have to have some sort of coverage, but our healthcare costs are unaffordable. Go to college, it's unaffordable unless you borrow money. Everything is becoming so expensive. We're $32 trillion in debt. Our credit rating is being downgraded. We're doing something wrong, are we not?
Absolutely. We don't seem to be taking the debt seriously. We've really added to the debt over the last 15 years. We've just spent, and it's all on the spending side. We've just spent a tremendous amount of extra money over and above our tax revenue. And there's one more thing we haven't talked about. Having all this debt, there's risk of a financial crisis. There's risk of inflation. By the way, this inflation is in large part caused by government spending, overspending.
Right.
Over the long run period, this is actually going to slow economic growth. We're going to have income growth start to slow 20 to 30 years from now. We'll be very happy to get 1.5% GDP growth. That'll be considered great. It's in large part because we owe so much debt that we're soaking up a bunch of investment money away from the private sector.
What is our, let me ask you, you're a numbers guy, what is our gross domestic product per year now as opposed to our expenditures, our government expenditures?
Well, GDP is about $25 trillion.
Okay.
government spending is about $6 trillion of that.
$6 trillion, okay. Now,
so it's quite a lot.
Yeah, in relation, the gross domestic product, that's our output, our total output of goods and services, correct?
That's right.
And that's, so it's like 20, it's about 25, our government expenditure is about 25% of our GDP?
That's right, and that's a very high level.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. That's at a very high level. And I will say, as much as we're borrowing, our tax revenue is at a very high level. Last year, tax revenues were the highest since World War II, yet we still borrowed $1.5 trillion money. We so overspent these already high tax revenues.
You know, this is the, by the way, again, we're talking with a guy that knows all kinds of stuff about what's going on economically in our country, Keith Hall. He's a senior fellow at the Mercatus Center, former director of the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, chief economist for the White House Council of Economic Advice. Now I've, after giving everything, I forgot the question I was about to ask you, I guess overall, I'm just, basically, our philosophy, I'm looking at our whole socialistic approach to everything. It's like if the government gets its hands on it, and we've talked about this in our show for years, the government, in our opinion, should never have gotten its clutches on health care, and should not have its, the federal government, and should not have its clutches on education. For a number of reasons, and look what happens when they do, or when they grab anything that's been in the private sector. The cost goes up, and typically the quality goes down. Would you?
Yeah, and I
go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I've had a career, especially when I was at the Congressional Budget Office, where Congress decided they wanted to spend some extra money, and I would at least say, okay, if you're going to do that, pay for it.
Yeah,
at least pay for it, and they don't do that, and that's been very frustrating to watch this.
And it's not just Democrats; it's not just the Biden administration. Although I remember this, and this scared the heck out of me when Obama was president. When he took office, I believe our national debt, if you can believe this, was only $10 trillion. Our national debt. When he left, it was $20 trillion. Since he's been out of office, which was what, 2016? Or not, what am I saying? Yeah, 2016. So for the past 7 years, have we not gone, added another like $12 trillion in our national debt?
Exactly. Yes, we have.
Wow.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got to depress you a little bit more.
Oh, please do.
Our spending path right now over the next 10 years, we're going to have to borrow another $20 trillion.
Oh, my God.
Unless we change something. And this is what the credit agency is seeing, and they're pointing out this is a problem. You're starting to lose our confidence.
Why can't people like you, who know so much, get up in that bell tower, and you're trying to ring that bell as loud as you can. We all have to listen and hear it. And apparently, none of the people that make any difference in Washington are listening.
Yeah, the way it seems to me is they only react to a crisis. This is a threat that's looming somewhere down the road. It could be a full-blown financial crisis. Could be in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, but it's not tomorrow. So if it's not on top of us, they pretend it doesn't exist. This is a very short-sighted way of looking at the budget, and it's been that way for a long time. We've been warning them about this growing budget for decades, and it's just incredible where we've gotten to at this point.
Keith, is there anybody in Congress or in the Senate or somewhere in Washington who feels like we do, you and I, and, you know, is in a position to do something about it, like Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker, or somebody that can say, look, what are we doing to ourselves, or maybe a guy like Rand Paul? Is there anybody out there that's ringing the bell?
Well, absolutely. There are individual members of Congress who recognize this is a problem and recognize that we're heading in a very dangerous direction. I think the big problem is they don't work together. There's very little consensus going on. whenever there's a government budget comes up every year, whatever party's in power sets the budget and doesn't include any participation with the minority party. And it's both parties do this. So these budgets come up, and they're all Republican budget or all Democratic budget. And as long as there's no cooperation between parties, they don't get enough mass to be able to vote in some restraints on spending.
Yeah. And of course, it's the Medicare and the Social Security and the third rail expenditures, right, that are the bulk of our debt or causing our biggest problem, and we don't want to rein them in. Is that not true? We're afraid we won't get reelected, right?
Well, that's right. That's right. And I will say about those entitlements, up to now, those entitlements have been a looming problem, but they haven't started really affecting us yet. Literally in 2032, in less than 10 years, all those trust funds are going to run out of money, and we're going to have to significantly surge our borrowing because we can no longer pay Social Security and Medicare and all those sort of things. So that's really a looming crisis because of our aging population. But we've got ourselves into a real jam even before that crisis is hit.
Yeah, you're so right. We could go on talking forever, Keith. I want to thank you so very much for coming on. I hope that we can do this again. Maybe we can be more positive about things. Maybe we'll get better news. But again, thank you for joining us, and the best to you.
Thanks. I enjoyed it.
And my pleasure. Our pleasure. Keith Hall of the Mercatus Center. Okay, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Donald Trump says not guilty to that judge in Washington, D.C., we're going to talk about it.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Back on a Friday, Freedom Works. And by the way, we just got some tough news. Andrew, our master barber buddy, is in the hospital right now. Had a little surgery. We understand he's doing well. He called in to tell us that he's in the hospital. So that's the good news. Don't know too much about his condition, and all I want to tell you is that we're praying for you, Andrew, and get on your feet as quickly as possible. Get yourself on home. We need you. We need you. All right. So Donald Trump wandered into his third indictment court yesterday. This time he was in Washington, D.C. He pled not guilty in federal court to all four federal charges, all stemming from the January 6th what do you call it? It wasn't an insurrection. We don't use that word here on that one. It was kind of a riot. I would say that's a fair statement.
Protest.
They broke in. Well, it was a protest. It was a riot. They broke in. They were breaking windows. But it wasn't an insurrection. Once they got in there, all those Goombas that were wandering around in there, they were, despite what you're hearing on some networks, they weren't attacking police and stabbing them with flagpoles and stomping on them with chairs. None of that happened. They wandered aimlessly around the rooms. One guy sat in Nancy Pelosi's, well, the speaker's chair at the time, you know?
I mean, if you're going to call that a riot, what would you call a Black Lives Matter
where people are protest. Actually attacked and fires are set.
When they break into places, they don't walk around and take pictures of things.
No, explosions,
they take the pictures.
Fires.
They take the pictures they don't take pictures of.
That's true. So Trump is charged with conspiracy to defraud the United States. That's count one. Count two, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding. Count three, obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding. What's the difference, by the way, up between two and three? And count four, conspiracy against rights. Okay, now, I challenge anybody to tell me exactly what that means. Does that mean what? They didn't charge him with the attack or the riot or whatever you want to call it on the Capitol building. Do you notice? They didn't charge him with inciting a riot. They did not charge. You know why? They know they can't get him on inciting a riot.
No, there's no audio or video or anything of him saying.
He said march peacefully. And patriotically to the Capitol. So what is the charge specifically? That he did not think he had lost the election and was trying to use whatever devices he could to stop the count and make sure that the count was accurate. Listen, if anybody in the country can't walk around and say, I think that the election was fraudulent, whether it's fraudulent or not, I mean, we all know that there was fraud in the voting. There's fraud in every major city.
We can have that opinion.
There's fraud in every major... I'm telling you that now. Come and lock me up, because I'll tell you, there is deliberate fraud in every major city in this country when it comes to the presidential election. I was in Chicago, a little boy, but when John Kennedy won the election, the mayor of Chicago was pulling up votes from dead people to make sure that John F. Kennedy won the election. And Illinois was the reason that Kennedy won rather than Richard Nixon. So don't tell me that there isn't fraud. The question is whether or not there was enough fraud to overturn this election. Donald Trump, it seems like, has been espousing that there was. He has every right to do that. He has every right to ask the vice president, if indeed he can do it, to challenge the electoral votes. He has every right to do that. That doesn't mean that the vice president has to do it, and in this case, Pence said he wasn't going to do it. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have the right to ask him. He didn't demand it. He didn't put a gun to anybody's head. And when he says he thinks that the election might have been stolen, he has every right to say it. He might be wrong. But what this comes down to is this court or prosecutor is challenging what his speech is. Mm-hmm. It's challenging Donald Trump's speech. Mm-hmm. There are only a couple of things that you cannot say, and all of them have to do with the immediate harm to somebody else. That means you can't shout fire in a crowded theater. They can come and get you for that one, right? But what Donald Trump espoused is not something that I think you can stop him from saying. Anyway, those are the four counts. The judge, Tanya Shakun. By the way, she didn't call him Mr. President when he was in there. Did you know that during the entire process, which was very short, where he pled not guilty, she just called him Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump, Mr. Trump, Mr.
Who
Trump.
Who is this?
The judge. Normally, if you're a president of the a former president,
right.
You're always, from there on out, you're always called Mr. President. Mm. But in this case, I wonder if she would have called Barack Obama Mr. Obama rather than Mr. President. I kind of doubt it, but that's just my guess. And by the way, I'm allowed to say that without somebody putting me in prison.
I'd call him Barry.
Anyway, so this is going to be the ongoing saga. It's going to be taking place during the election. We don't know for sure. I think the next major date in this particular situation is August the 23rd, 19 days from today. The prosecuting attorney's name is Jack Smith. We know that. He seems to be a Trump hater. They, if you listen to the mainstream media, Jack Smith is supposed to be an independent. I would venture to tell you he's nothing more. I think he's a political hack, and I think he's also a Democrat. But that's just me.
What people are increasingly noticing and finally realizing, this has nothing to do with these charges. Nothing to do with voting. It has nothing to do with January 6th. It all has to do with the election. They're trying to get him to knock him, to take himself out of the election. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
If he were not running,
they wouldn't go after him.
These would not be up. They're wasting people. They are wasting our money.
Right.
This is not free.
A lot of people are asking, why now? By the way, they've had since, January 6th, that was, two and a half years ago, right? More than two and a half.
Yeah.
Why did they wait until now?
Because it's getting closer to the election.
Well, that's exactly why.
And we sit here and say, but whenever it gets a point where it's a lull, we always say, well, it's got to be something coming up right around the corner. Here's another thing.
I mean, they had 2.5 years, and now they're gonna charge them.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got, what, another year?
And in the meantime, when is the Hunter Biden FBI probe going to end? Look, how long has that been going on?
They're not even talking about it now.
They got Trump. They want him in jail while he is running for president. And they haven't brought up any charges against Hunter Biden.
Yeah, we want to put him there in jail because he said, I believe the election was stolen. By golly.
Right.
If they would put as much effort into putting real criminals behind bars, in the effort that they're going after Donald Trump, imagine how safe our country would be.
It'd be spotless safe, wouldn't it? Yeah.
And the amount of money that's being burned, nobody wants to bring up the money-wise. I want to know how much each time they have taken him to court and not gotten a favorable
ruling
that it just goes on, oh, well, on to the next one. But when's enough is enough, and when does somebody else pay the bill?
Yes,
you know what
like
you know,
we said the other day, the loser should.
You know what was the guy the yesterday? Bill. What was the ding dong yesterday that the guy that what was his name yesterday that brought these charges up on him?
Oh, yeah, I talk about Jack Smith.
Yeah, Jack Smith. Yeah. Jack, listen.
You pay the bill if you lose.
Yeah, you feel so confident in this. You pay the bill if you lose.
I'm still trying
to
figure out the charge.
It doesn't matter.
The charge is so vacuous.
Yeah.
It is so, you can't grab it. There's nothing there to grab. It's like.
And you can have somebody say, well, all you got to do is just read the charges.
This thing, I'm going to say.
Read, I can read like you can read, pal. You can read like I can read. But it's nothing.
This thing is going to die on the appellate court or in the Supreme Court. But you see, during the presidential race, it's going to be. They're going to be throwing this in our face all the time. So that's the deal. Anyway, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, hey, how about a debate between Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and California Governor Gavin Newsom? Well, we're going to see it, and we'll tell you about it. Baby.
This
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. It's Friday. It's the final segment of Freedom Works. I hope you're not berserk with sorrow about that. By the way, we do our show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the wonderful Tan Talk Radio Network. We thank everybody that makes it possible. But if you're not able to listen live, guess what? Big Ed Davis puts all of our shows on podcast for you. All you have to do is go to our website, which is ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all the shows, most recent shows first. You'll see who the guest is, and you'll see the topic with the guest, and you'll see what our top 10 is. You can listen at your leisure. ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Well, remember Devin Archer? He was Hunter Biden's business partner, right? Despite the Biden campaign denial, Hunter Biden's ex-business partner, Devin Archer, confirmed that then-Vice President Joe Biden was at the infamous 2015 dinner with Hunter's foreign business associates. Devin Archer told investigators that Joe, quote, had dinner, unquote, with him and several others, including Burisma Energy exec Vadim, V-A-D-Y-M, P. Good old Vadim P. All right. Now, in 2020, the New York Post reported that Hunter Biden introduced his then-Vice President father to a top exec at Burisma, the Ukraine energy company, where Hunter had served on its board and reportedly was collecting more than $50,000 per month. Gee, that's more than you get, Ed.
Yeah.
The story set off a firestorm and rejections from Biden's closest aides. As an example, spokesman Andrew Bates told Politico the campaign reviewed Joe Biden's official schedule at that time, and no meeting ever took place. They completely denied the dinner and the meeting with Burisma and Joe Biden. Likewise, in that same article, other Biden advisors flatly rejected Biden met the Burisma exec, who worked for Biden during the alleged encounter and was being paid more than $200,000 at the Penn Biden Center. So the exec at Burisma was connected to the Penn Biden Center and being paid by them. See how all this just interplays with each other?
But he didn't know who they were.
Yeah, Biden didn't know who they were. And in fact, his office, Biden's office, chalked it up to a Russian disinformation campaign. However, an email that was widely reported a couple of years ago shows Hunter Biden told somebody 3 weeks before the dinner in 2015 that Hunter's dad will be there, but keep that between us for now. But he shows up.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, they got the goods on him showing up at these different now the trick is to, and Devin can't say exactly what the exchanges were because they wouldn't allow him to hear the telephone exchanges and those kinds of things. But he knows that they put them together.
Right. But as Vice President of the United States, you would want to know who you're talking to, who you're having dinner with. Let me put it in an analogy.
Your son says, hey, this is the guy that I'm working with overseas.
Being very good friends with a former Buccaneer player and All-Pro, we were talking one time about something else, and this came up, that when he goes to an event, a party, he wants to know who's there because you have to be careful. In other words, you can't be there with some convicted child molester or something. You want to know who's there. He would even bring his own food.
Wow.
Because you have to be careful. People could put stuff in your food that comes up as a steroid or whatever, and you don't know what you're eating.
I never thought of that.
So he would bring his own food, and he want to know who's there. As a vice president of the United States, you can't tell me that you don't sit down at dinner and say, who the heck is this?
You don't sit down with oligarchs.
What do you do?
You don't sit down with oligarchs that your son is on the payroll with overseas when you're involved in what money from our country is going to that country. This is obvious. Okay, now, I want to get over real quickly before we go to our top 10. Ron DeSantis, our governor here in Florida, has agreed to debate California counterpart Gavin Newsom tentatively on Fox News.
That won't be much of a debate.
Well, it'll be an interesting exchange, won't it?
But it's smart. You know what? Because if he's their number one contender, Ron DeSantis can go after him, make him look like a child, and take him right off the ballot.
Well, first of all, why would Gavin Newsom is the one that's been challenging Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis is finally saying, okay, you keep asking me, now I'm going to do it. Now, we know that Ron is running for president. This, I think, is obviously because Gavin Newsom is a closet candidate for the Democratic president.
He wants to take a big swing and see if it hits.
There you go. So, Newsom has spent months trying to get DeSantis into this debate. Yesterday, DeSantis agreed, telling Fox News' Sean Hannity, absolutely, I'm going to just, he said, just tell me when and where. So they're going to do it on Hannity's program.
Good.
Apparently, there will be no audience, which I think
good.
Is fair.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't want people clapping every time Ron opens his mouth and booing when we're, so they're going to do that. The agreed to date, or not, the proposed date is November the 8th or 10th of November. So we got a few months.
Hey, real quickly, a story that the Mayor Adams of New York, the strange gets stranger, now wants to monitor and restrict the amount of poultry.
He does?
And dairy that New Yorkers are consuming. You remember the pizza with the ovens and stuff?
Yeah.
And wants to restrict that. Now he says he wants people to stop eating meat and dairy, because plant-based things don't need to be cooked as much and not detrimental to the environment.
Kidding.
No, you can't make this up.
This guy,
he
with
doesn't
all the
want
problems they
stop
got.
Barbecuing. Go out and pick your berries and eat the berries.
You know, we're in bizarro world now.
Meanwhile, he said that over a steak and beer, by the way.
Yeah, I believe that. Bizarro world. All right, it's time for our top 10. Let's get away from all this nonsense, Ed. Let's go to the greatest NFL wide receivers of all time. I want to see if you
I got mine.
All right, here we go. Number 10. I'm afraid I don't know some of them. Help me out. Chris Carter?
Sure. Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Yes.
Number 9. I remember this guy. He was amazing. And a white guy, and he was tall and lanky. Fred Biletnikoff.
Yes, for the Raiders.
Yes.
Yes.
Number 8. Art Monk.
Washington Redskins.
Very good. That's right.
Number 81.
You are good.
Number 81.
Let's see if you know all of them. Number 7. Don Hutson.
Green Bay Packers.
Oh, you sure? You might be right.
I think so.
I don't know. So. Number 6. I remember this guy. He was a little white guy. Steve Largent.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Seattle Seahawks.
That's right. Number five. Terrell Owens.
Okay.
Why are you laughing? You don't buy it.
Terrell Owens has just been...
Terrell Owens.
He's been in so many situations, yeah. So many teams.
Yeah, he has...
He's the one that said, get your popcorn ready.
He's
you know.
The attitude guy, right?
Yeah. Doesn't pay his child support either.
Was he ever with the Tampa Bay Bucks?
No. No.
Oh, good.
49ers, 49ers, Eagles. He's the one that got in a fight with Donovan...
McNabb.
Yes, on the sideline.
Who was the guy with the Bucks that got into trouble?
Which one?
A wide receiver.
Keyshawn Johnson?
Yeah, Keyshawn Johnson. Okay, number four. Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald.
The name rings a bell, but I don't remember the team.
Larry
Fitzgerald.
You mean the Arizona Cardinals?
Okay, maybe. Okay. That sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three. Calvin Johnson.
Lions.
Detroit Lions.
Yes.
What era?
Not maybe 10 years ago.
Very good. Yeah. Number two, Randy Moss.
He was another one that quit early.
Oh, he did?
He got tired of losing.
Yeah, he was on Detroit.
He got tired of losing.
It's been a long time for Detroit.
He played like 9 years.
Number two is Randy Moss.
Yeah, he definitely... I mean, original Minnesota Viking.
Yeah, that's right.
Played with Brady for a cup of coffee in New England.
In New England.
And won a Super Bowl.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So he's been around.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Ed. Who do you think is the number one greatest NFL wide receiver?
Well, I think you got to go the guy from Mississippi State, and that would be Jerry Rice of the 49ers.
You are correct. Jerry Rice. You know, he was a perfectionist.
He was.
He would run the perfect route. He did everything perfectly. And he was a nice guy. And he never got in any trouble.
No. Nope.
He was a sweet guy.
And
I he's the model wide receiver.
In his final year, I think, because he left the 49ers and went to the Raiders. The Bucks played the Raiders in the Super Bowl and shut him down basically up until he caught a touchdown pass, but it was way late in the game. It was out of control.
So he was towards the end of his career
upset.
Back then?
Yes. Yeah. It was like the last 2 years of his career he played in Oakland.
Was he on the receiving end of Joe Montana passes?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
God,
him
what
and
a
Steve
combination
Young.
That would have been.
Yeah, he started with him and Steve
I'd
Young.
I'd love to go back and watch some videotapes of those.
Yep.
Two of the great.
Yep.
At their positions, right? All right, thank you so very much. Again, our prayers for our buddy, Andrew the Master Barber. We'll be back on Monday. Freedom Works. And yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan.